This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey there, travelers. Kaylee Cuoco here. Sorry to interrupt your music, great artist, BT Dubs, but wouldn't you rather be there to hear it live? With Priceline, you can get out of your dreams and into your dream concert. They've got millions of travel deals to get you to that festival, gig, rave, soundbath, or sonic experience you've been dreaming of. Download the Priceline app today, and you can save up to 60% off hotels and up to 50% off flights. So don't just dream about that trip. Book it with Priceline.
Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I love this.
Rich Eisen is here.
The mojo's back.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
From half court, pulls up for a three. It's good. Bunny heel.
Kick to the corner. Turner beat the clock and hit a three.
Picked off by Westbrook. Got two hands.
Earlier on the show, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Coming up, ESPN NBA reporter Dave McMenamin, author and comedian Carol Leifer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Our number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Hour number two, lots to talk about. In the NFL world, we've got an overreaction Monday on a Monday coming up here. Our podcast was done last week. It's still, I think, quite germane. Not much has really changed in the NFL in the last week. So everybody should check out that podcast that Chris Brockman and I do, wherever you get your podcast. But kicking off hour number two to talk about the NBA playoffs and also to help me teach Kendrick Perkins how to say his last name is Dave McMenamin,
hey.
NBA reporter from ESPN. How are you? Dave McMenamin.
You got it right.
That is unbelievable.
I did get some mileage out of that, though.
Oh, so my God.
Sometimes it works that way.
Kendrick Perkins, I tell you, how many bites at that apple did he take the other day? It was like three or four, right?
It was Moses Moodian by the end of it, yes.
Moodian. You changed it into an adjective, yes. Huh? Okay, yeah. Very good. Or is there a verb?
Basically, the complete opposite. I remember during the Super Bowl, it was so boring, and then LeBron was like, hey, Dave, can you like post some news or something? Basically, the opposite of that.
Yeah,
that
was
fantastic.
The Rams-Patriots Super Bowl, right?
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Great to see you.
Just like everything else, the NBA playoffs is terrific, and it's certainly better. The first round, I think, better than last year, for sure, more competitive.
Yep.
The second round matchups are beyond compelling, but the Lakers are the Lakers, so let's start with them. And now that the season's over and Luka has broken bread, although I hope fish at Craig's that we saw. It's a great fish dish at Craig's. I've had it. The white fish is outstanding. That's hopefully for Luka that he had with J.J. Redick and the general manager, Rob Pelinka. The Lakers are not in the second round because
they played a better team. They were the 3 seed, of course, playing the 6 seed. So it sounds like they were upset. They were a 50-win team playing a 49-win team. That 49-win team happened to go 17-4 down the stretch of the regular season. So they were coming in as maybe the hottest team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the experience of being in the Western Conference Finals a year ago. The Lakers starting lineup in game one of that series. And I'm not a big stat heavy guy, but sometimes I find it very illustrative of what we're talking about. 100 minutes together with that starting lineup. The Wolves starting lineup through the first that they played game one in, 714. So they just had extreme experience compared to what the Lakers had. We're talking about a Lakers team that tried to change on the fly after acquiring Luka Doncic. They had moments where they looked like one of the best teams in the league. They had moments where they went to Brooklyn and lost, where they lost twice to the Chicago Bulls in a 6-day span when they were trying to fight for seeding. It's a team that didn't know one another yet. And clearly it's a team that was lacking sufficient big men to, in order to compete with a team with the size of Minnesota.
Is it fair to say, and this is definitely checking on my work, because this is what I said after the Lakers got eliminated, that everything that everybody said about the trade for Anthony Davis in Dallas, which is like, why are you giving up your superstar for a guy that gets hurt? And in Los Angeles, even like, hey, no brainer to get Luka, but he's got to hit the gym. Is it fair to say that those reactions, or who's going to rim protect on top of it, that one of the, at the end of the day, those were right to say?
Well, I think
those are fair.
I think when the trade was made, it was all about making the trade for the future. But then because the Lakers had signs of looking really great, looking like a world beater immediately, it was, oh, maybe it was for the present and the future. But I think the reality is it was more so for the future. By trading that deal midseason, you trade away two rotation pieces in Anthony Davis and Max Christie, you got back one. So all of a sudden, you hurt your depth, and obviously we've talked ad nauseum about Mark Williams, that deal falling through. They tried to address the size. They couldn't. So they went into the postseason with a roster that really had no business talking about winning a championship because of the major hole that they had at center.
Well, they tried to address it with Mark Williams, who tweeted out and posted quite a bit of shade from his position in the aftermath of the Lakers losing. And then you asked a fantastic question, and you got the soundbite of the press conference from LeBron James when you asked him about playing centerless basketball, and I'd love for you to interpret his response.
Right when AD got injured, you guys started playing a lot of centerless basketball, and that required a lot from you and Doe and Rui and then Vando once he got back. Just from a physical, like, taxing standpoint, how tough was that for the last 3.5 months to play that style, and do you feel like that caught up at all in this series?
No comment. I'll never say that, because my guy AD said what he needed, and then he was gone the following week, so I got no comment. I put that uniform on every night. I gave everything I had, and that's all that matters.
All right, you're more fluent in LeBron than perhaps I am or anyone else. You want to interpret that response?
Well, there's layers to it, sure.
I mean, my guy AD, does that mean Luka's not your guy? Or is he implying that if he speaks the truth, he will be gone from the Lakers? Or is he saying we should never have nuked the Mark Williams trade? Bring me the doctor who said that, or what?
Well,
what
I'll start with the AD piece, because there have been folks that are reluctant to believe the version of events that have been presented by both teams and reporters like myself, who have, you know, our job is to figure out what happened here on February 2nd with that trade. LeBron James didn't know about the deal. He didn't. He found out about it on that Friday night after the Knicks game. JJ Redick found about it before the game, I'm told, but still he didn't know about it till the finish line, basically. Mm-hmm. So I think that's him kind of addressing that, that's out in the ethos that, like, no, he's my guy. There was no, like, conspiracy led by me to try to orchestrate this deal to get Luka Doncic.
See, that's why you're fluent in LeBron. I didn't even see that he's still grinding on that potential storyline.
It just keeps popping up.
Okay.
And so he sees the stuff that pops up.
All right.
So we'll start there.
All right.
The secondary piece being, listen, I have asked for help with this roster over the years, and it's been the same person in control, Rob Pelinka, who's the president of basketball operations and general manager. And we saw what happened the last time someone in my position spoke up about it. It was genuinely, you know, clever and funny, because the timing happened to go that way. But when he was at All-Star a couple years ago in Cleveland and spoke about his admiration for the job that Sam Presti does and spoke about how he hopes, you know, more teams act like Les Snead and trade away all the picks when you have a contender. Mm-hmm. That's the message, you know, whether it's the most tactical way about going about it, by kind of shaming, in some sense, the front office into making more moves. It's something he feels the urgency every day because he recognizes that there's a very limited resource of him still playing in the NBA.
Yes.
And he wants to have every single chance possible to try to win another championship. And that has to be an urgency shared by every single person in the organization.
Well, I mean, getting Luka's not a bad, I mean, you can't say no to that. I mean,
it's the correct move.
If Nico Harrison's calling you up and saying, we're going to move Luka, we're thinking about it, only to you. Like, there's no, like, this is the greatest pocket listing in the history of the NBA. And you're going to have to say, who do you want? And the answer comes back basically Anthony Davis. The answer is yes. And then you go and get Mark Williams as a rim protector. I don't know what happened in that physical.
Yeah. So I reported.
That seems like a winning combination right there, doesn't it?
Well, of course. So I'll start on the Williams part. I reported that a source familiar with what the Lakers saw said that they just couldn't live with what they saw. So whatever it was, and yeah, this is a tough area as a reporter because, again, you're talking about someone's body, which is their livelihood for the duration of their time in the league. And so, you know, I don't have access to any of the records and stuff like that. Even the conjecture sharing that makes me a little uncomfortable because
understood.
Obviously, this young man, he averaged almost 15 points per game after the trade that
was
rescinded.
Doubling almost every
60%
night.
From the field.
Yeah.
He's 7'2", 7'4" reach. I mean, he's a guy who clearly can play NBA basketball. So I wish him well. But for whatever reason, the Lakers decided they couldn't do it. But the bigger point here is that LeBron is a Luka fan. Trust me, I've talked to him on the record. I talked to him off the record. He made sure that as soon as he arrived that he wanted him to feel empowered, put the ball in his hands. Yeah, I'll play off ball.
He let Luka be introduced last in his first game here in L.A. I totally get it.
That's no small.
Sure.
But his bigger point is let's just not be happy about getting Luka. And now the timeline becomes, well, let's build something up for Luka in the next 3-4 years. It's, hey, me and Luka, we can win together, first of all. And also, like, you know, the Lakers should feel some urgency with Luka because they have until August 2nd to convince him to want to sign a long-term extension with them.
But he wouldn't want to?
If I'm Luka Doncic and I love playing basketball where you feel the fire of the moment, you know, and you are the team wherever you go, that there's extra juice in the building, of course I want to sign with the Lakers. But if I'm someone who understands leverage, I wouldn't mind floating that I might not re-sign with the Lakers between now and August 2nd to give some further motivation to the Lakers to get this team better for next year.
But he can't sign a supermax, and that's not the Lakers' fault. You know what I mean?
No, like, but they can understand still that. But they as of August 2nd, they can offer him a 4-year extension worth $229 million.
Yeah.
Or he could sign a 3-year extension worth about $165 million, which would then get him into free agency in 2028 with 10 years experience. And at that point, he could sign a supermax.
Okay. Either way, he's either got to be made to feel at home or not. So just to put a button on it here, what happens? Like, read some tea leaves for me. Like, LeBron wants to stay and Luka stays, and what options do they have
I believe to try
and get that rim protector that they absolutely need, and maybe some confidence instilled in J.J. Redick and the rest of the roster, because the guy who they drafted this year, because LeBron watched a lot of SEC basketball and looked pretty darn good, wound up being sent to Charlotte, wound up coming back. And Dalton Connect didn't play a lick in these playoffs when they could have had Mark Williams.
That's right.
So, and that's just one of the many DNP CDs that's left a bunch of heads being scratched here in Los Angeles. So what happens next?
Right. So now Connect had already fallen out of the rotation late in the regular season. We should note that. I mean, okay, he had that great game in Denver when they sat everybody, and him and Austin Reeves almost beat them single-handedly.
But a coach who's saying we're not playing rim protectors because we need scoring, and scoring is what Connect could possibly do. You know what I mean?
Like, right. But we need scoring, but we also need the high level intelligence to be able to play our switching defense, and, you know, one mistake has a domino effect. And so, I mean,
so the guy who hasn't played since January is the guy that you choose. in crunch time. Again, right. I'm not saying you speak for J.J. Redick right. or anything like that, and I'm a fan of his, actually. I was talking about him, you know, at some point for Coach of the Year and got laughed at in this room.
I voted him third.
You know, well, I mean, and he did, I think, a very, you know, very good job this year in his first foray as a head coach in the league. But the playoffs hit, and we all saw what just happened. So I'll be quiet and let you have the floor on what happens
yeah,
next.
Yeah, so, I mean, they need to address the center position. They will be able to trade two first round picks because they got the one back from the deal that was rescinded. Mm-hmm. They have expiring contracts. Someone like Gabe Vincent making around $11 million. That's a good number that can get you something that's out there. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, will have the mid-level exception available to them, and that's, you know, in the $13 million range that they could sign a free agent. So they're going to be able to get someone. The market's pretty thin. You know, maybe you could talk yourself into someone like Clint Capella, who obviously had great years with those Houston teams that challenged the Warriors every postseason. He's kind of been in Atlanta, not playing as significant basketball because those Hawks teams haven't been very good. But he's someone who can be, you need a lob threat and a vertical spacer, and obviously someone who knows what it takes to win, to be in a winning program where every game matters. He checks a lot of boxes. He's getting up there in age, though. Robert Williams II from Portland's the guy they kicked the tires on.
Time Lord,
leading,
huh?
Yeah, Time Lord, leading up to the trade deadline. That's someone you could look at. You know, Brooke Lopez in Milwaukee is going to be a free agent. What's his number? What does he have left? But certainly he helped win a championship with that Bucks team in 2021. So there's going to be some stuff out there. They could go the route of let's upgrade it to this. You know, we go from basically a zero to a five just by getting someone in, and then we're going to spend every waking moment from the offseason until the trade deadline canvassing the league and find the next guy that's unhappy or wants to be moved.
But LeBron stays?
Oh, yeah. I certainly expect LeBron to stay. And he basically, in his end of season presser, made it seem like, okay, I might not stay and I have something to think about. I spoke to him afterwards. It wasn't about like whether he would stay or go. It's more like whether he'd come back. And I just think give the guy the grace of the moment. Like 22 years in, obviously he was very disappointed by the way things, how they went. We found out afterwards he had a sprained MCL in his left knee that he played through. Like he was just kind of spent. So he's more referring to, will I come back or not? He's going to come back, of course. And he's going to come back for the Lakers.
And Luka's going to sign here.
I fully anticipate him signing with the Lakers. Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure what it will look like, though. What the number, how many years, et cetera, et cetera.
Dave McManaman here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, now let's talk about the playoffs. The Pacers took a chunk out of the Cavs last night. And the Knicks start their series with the Celtics, the defending world champs. The storyline in the East, in your estimation, is what?
I still think it's the Celtics, and when they play at their best, I think there's no one can really touch them. They just haven't shown it all that often this year, and certainly Drew Holiday being off the injury report for the second round, that's huge for them because that's someone you can throw at Jalen Brunson. He has the physicality and he has the angles and he knows what it's like to bring it every possession. That's monumental because Jalen Brunson, without Drew Holiday there to stop him, you could be talking about a monster series for him, and still could have a monster series because he's that good. But I think the Celtics are, you know, the team to watch because if they play up to their potential, they will be back-to-back NBA champions. But it doesn't mean that the other series isn't super compelling. I want to see what happens with Darius Garland. You know, he's day-to-day going into the second round, but then his team falls flat on its face in game one. All of a sudden, does that give him the impetus? I need to be in there for game two. And even if he's, you know, he's dealing with a sprained, I believe, big toe, even if he's not 100%, he's a gravitational type of player. He can catch and shoot from 30 feet. And so that should, just his mere presence, open driving lanes up for someone like Donovan Mitchell.
All things being equal, everybody being healthy, Knicks didn't have a healthy team last year going to, you know, make it through the playoffs. Do you think, the as they're currently constituted, and the same thing with the Timberwolves, that trade, nobody's talking about that trade much anymore because we were just so focused on what the hell happened between the Mavs and the Lakers, right? That trade, would you say both teams are better equipped to make their runs right now? Which team is better equipped to make their run over the other? What's your two cents on that subject matter?
Yeah, I do think Karl-Anthony Towns is the most talented player of the three that was involved in that deal. We're talking about DiVincenzo and Julius Randle going to Minnesota, mm-hmm. and Towns going to New York. Just Towns is, until he gets it done at the NBA level, you know, basically breaks through with the championship, being a former number one pick, all the expectations of the world coming out of Kentucky, he's going to be criticized. You know, that's just what it is when you're that big and that talented. And you know, you are not your archetypal, all I care about is basketball and I'm a fierce warrior type of personality. And so, that said though, I mean, he has all the skills and all the size to deal with, whether it be Kristaps Porzingis, whether it be Al Horford, whatever they're going to go with, Sam Hauser, even in minutes with that team, he has it. And when he is aggressive, he can open up so many things for that Knicks team. It's just whether he can stay in that aggressive mode. I covered the Wolves last year during the playoffs, mm-hmm. after the Lakers bowed out to Denver in the first round, and he was very up and down, and he had his moments, and he had you know, big time going to Denver game seven on the road and going toe to toe with Nikola Jokic to unseat the defending champions.
Yes.
And then he kind of was a no-show at times in the Western Conference Finals against Dallas.
And in terms of this matchup, 6 versus 7, how about that, right? The Timberwolves are home court advantage against the Warriors. That deadline trade, right, to get Jimmy Butler,
yeah.
turned out to be quite something. I mean, the Heat get waxed. They would have been better off not making the playoffs, pretty much. And when you look at what they lost, on top of it, too, I mean, the Warriors appear to be in a much better shape. How do you see this one shaping out?
Yeah, I mean, it was such an example of a bird in the hand's better than two in the bush, because the Golden State front office was trying to position themselves in case Giannis Antetokounmpo, once out of Milwaukee, mm-hmm. that they would have the proper assets to make a legitimate offer, and he could then have his second home and final home in the NBA be with the Warriors, and then they have their succession plan for Steph Curry. But they had no assurances that it was going to go that way. And then the Jimmy Butler situation pops up, and they're like, yeah, I mean, Jimmy's not as good as Giannis in many ways, but what he is a fierce competitor who's even better in the playoffs, who has something to prove. And we think that that personality will work with the group that we have.
Right.
And clearly it was a tremendous move by Mike Dunleavy Jr. And they've, you know, Om Young Masuk for ESPN wrote a wonderful story. Basically, they have dubbed this the last ride. Draymond and Steph Curry, after the trade was realized, had a conversation, and Steph, Om reports, was literally had tears in his eyes, being like, wow, I didn't know if this was ever going to happen. I didn't know if we were just going to play a string out of games over the end of my career of meaningless basketball. Now that we got Jimmy, we're competing for a championship until the end of my days here. And they're obviously embracing the moment here. And it's the culture there is special, and it's built on winning. It's easy to believe in what you're trying to sell as a coach or a front office if there's already winning results behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a team meeting after game six when they got rocked by Houston for the second straight game. And already it seems like Jimmy, Draymond, and Steph are all comfortable together sharing the vocal part of the leadership here. Jimmy said, I need to lift up my teammates more. Draymond said, I need to stop with all the shenanigans and lock in more. And, you know, Steph just has to be Steph. And it was beautiful. I mean, and how about Jimmy Butler telling the team, I'm going to give confidence to my teammates. And the guy who's kind of been his kind of whipping boy since he got there is Buddy Hield. And in a way, that's him saying, like, I believe in you, buddy. I'm going to keep riding you and giving you crap because I think you'd be a lot better. Buddy Hield has the game of his life, 22 points in the first half, sets a league record for three-pointers in the game seven, tying with nine.
Unbelievable, man. Can you give me 10 more minutes?
Oh, yeah, let's
do it. Let's do it. Let's take a break. And Dave McMenamin, because you mentioned Giannis, and I want to ask you about him. There's one more series we haven't hit yet, Oklahoma City versus the Denver Nuggets. And then, of course, I need information on Chris Brockman back in the day from Dave McMenamin, fellow Syracuse Orange, right here on the Rich Eisen Show from ESPN. Don't go anywhere. Back with that in a second. Okay, this is not a drill. Get ready, because Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, hits theaters May 23rd, and I'm counting down the days. This is it. The biggest practical action movie ever made. Tom Cruise and director Christopher McQuarrie are back, pushing the limits of what action cinema can do. We're talking real stunts, real danger, and real edge-of-your-seat intensity, all shot in jaw-dropping locations around the world. Did you see that trailer? Tom Cruise free-falling through fire, Haley Atwell back in action, and the whole crew reunited. Ving Rhames, Simon Pegg, Isai Morales. It's like the ultimate global team-up. This franchise started almost 30 years ago, and it just keeps getting better. Mission is more than a movie. It's a high-stakes ride built on loyalty, friendship, sacrifice, and seriously gutsy stunts. So, yeah, I'm beyond excited to see Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, on the biggest screen possible in a theater, May 23rd. This summer, the mission is clear. Don't miss it. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. This message is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. May is Military Appreciation Month, and we're celebrating the military community that goes above and beyond every day with Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal was created for the military community and is dedicated to ensuring that its members feel celebrated and honored every single day. For over 90 years, Navy Federal's mission has been to support and uplift the military community, and this May is no different. It's not just a credit union, it's also a partner dedicated to helping its members achieve their financial goals. All active duty, veterans, and members of military families are eligible to join. Navy Federal is excited to celebrate Military Appreciation Month as a special time to recognize our troops and the profound contributions they make. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/celebrate. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, what are we just identifying in TJ's corner?
Dave goes, is that a real Melo jersey?
Yeah. When I was producing Punk'd years and years ago, we punked him, and I actually got a... Someone gave me his authentic Nuggets jersey.
Yeah, so
I'm signing.
Okay, so that shimmer cool. material, I miss that with the NBA jerseys.
Yeah, that's awesome.
The Sixers are bringing back the ones they wore in the 2001 run with Iverson to the finals, the black ones. And I don't know whether Nike's going to bring that shimmer material back, but we need that.
Speaking of jerseys, you know how I knew the Rockets were going to get smoked last night? When they came out in those awful alt jerseys. You knew the game was over. What are we doing?
I don't know. Cooper, my 14-year-old, constantly is showing me, you know, the City Connect jerseys in baseball.
They're terrible.
And the alternate jerseys, and he makes fun of me because I hate them all.
They're all awful.
I can't stand the Philadelphia Phillies ones. They're so bad.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
I don't mind the blue and like neon yellow. Ones, the Braves ones look like they're old ones. I think the Pirates have one that looked like they're old
ones. Actual throwbacks, where the Red Sox ones look like UCLA jerseys.
I hate them. Well, they look like Carmelo's jersey.
Yeah. I mean, I get it's for the marathon, but it's terrible.
I mean,
That's awesome.
Okay, yeah, that is
a giant jersey.
That's pretty sweet.
I guess we're not going to show that.
No, that's all right. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Is it also true that you are here because your lovely wife and better half was on Women's Sports Now last
that
week?
That is right, yeah.
Malika was the guest in studio, and she's like, it's so great there, and you're like, I've got to go back. Is that a true story?
It's not too far off, yeah. Okay. It was kind of, the wheels were in motion. Spent some time with Sarah as well.
Okay, that's right.
That's right.
Okay. Very good.
Did she force you to do it, Dave? Because
no.
Oh, I'm happy to do it.
Okay.
He is happy to. As a matter of fact, I thought you'd be zooming in. I thought you'd already be somewhere. And then I got a text last night that you're coming in studio. I'm like, that's a great plot twist.
I'm going to be covering the Wolves Warrior series.
And you're out tonight.
Yeah, I'm flying out this late afternoon. So.
Okay. There you go. There's the. The trials and tribulations of Dave McMenamin. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Dave McMenamin still here before he hops a flight to Minnesota for that first round game that's coming up Tuesday. Is that a Tuesday night?
Tomorrow, yeah.
Okay,
Tuesday.
Man, here we go, man. Off we
go.
And we got two games tonight. Very good. Oklahoma City and Denver. And Oklahoma City's just been chilling like the proverbial villain, right? And the Nuggets and the Clippers go seven games. I mean, what is Michael Malone thinking right now? Fired in part, allegedly, reportedly, that he played Russell Westbrook too much, and the guy who helped the Nuggets in the next round is, in fact, Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, while I'm sure he's going through a lot right now, as is Calvin Booth, recognizing that... what more could we have done? Mm-hmm. Put this team in position to win, had earned a playoff spot.
Yeah.
I think there should be a rule in place, quite honestly. If you've clinched a playoff spot,
you can't fire your coach.
The job to actually coach them in the playoffs. It seems like a
seriously,
simple
right?
rule
okay.
to have in place.
It makes sense to me.
I don't know if the governors will go for something like that. I don't believe.
I mean, let's say barring something off court or something untoward
correct.
That you get involved in.
Right.
But if it's just purely from a basketball standpoint, I think the proof is in the pudding that did enough good of a job to have a team qualify for the playoffs.
Crazy.
That means you are qualified to be the coach for that playoff run.
I'm going to ask you a first take type question right
okay.
here.
Okay.
That's my heads up. Is that if Oklahoma City doesn't make the finals, it's a disappointment?
Hmm. Well, I mean, I think when you look at it and you're like, okay, now LeBron and the Lakers are out of it, and they were considered to be a threat,
mm-hmm.
Especially by the way they played in OKC late in the season.
The two and the three seeds are gone, sir.
Yeah, and so is the two seed. Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Even as young as they are, and especially the way last year went when they lost to Dallas, yeah, I think it should be finals or bust for them.
72 wins right now, including the playoffs.
There you go.
Right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's as you know, a magic number when you hear the number of wins.
Yeah.
But here come the Nuggets. So what? It's Chet Holmgren on Jokic. And who's marking SGA? What do we got? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Lees, I think you're going to have probably go with some Michael Porter Jr. action
okay.
on SGA because
right.
he has the length and the athleticism to go lateral with him. But, you know, that's an incredibly tough matchup for anyone in this league. Jokic, I don't know how that's going to work for. I mean, OKC has obviously Hartenstein in
oh,
there
that's
too,
right.
and so he has
so
a little
good,
more.
Man, I miss him as a Knicks fan.
Yeah, he's a hell of a player.
He does everything,
and he has a little bit more size than Holmgren, and you know maybe a little bit more of a motor and try to get Jokic running. But Jokic is like low key one of the best conditioned athletes in the league. I think people still think of him as the fat boy, as he referred to himself when he first came into the league. But now he's just relentless. And listen, they are a team that feels like they have a new life. And Jokic, I think, very politically addressed the idea of them getting to the second round with the coaching change. And he said, well, I think it caused the spark or the change that management wanted.
Hmm.
So he didn't necessarily give David Adelman the credit. He wasn't trying to say he didn't do his job. But basically said, like, this was a decision outside of my hands. We advanced in the playoffs. That's what our bosses wanted. So here we are.
I mean, Jokic was drafted during a fast food commercial, right?
Taco Bell, yeah.
I mean, it started at the that moniker kind of started
from
the very beginning. How much, based on everything we've talked about in this half hour, and I appreciate you giving us this time, Dave McMenamin, the NBA reporter from ESPN, before he goes off to Minnesota to cover that second round series between the Timberwolves and the Warriors, how much on everything that we've talked about so far with the Lakers and their offseason decisions and then the current playoffs, how much does Giannis loom over all of these proceedings and the way that his season ended, Dave McMenamin?
Oh, absolutely. He is at the top of every GM's mind because he is the type of player that you put him on any team, quite frankly, they're immediately in the contender conversation, like immediately. And, you know, listen, John Horst just got a extension right before or during their first round series. He was able to get Giannis to sign an extension himself about a year ago, and that's the only organization that Giannis has known. So we haven't heard any rumblings that he's going to be requesting a trade.
That's all he's got to do, though, is just twitch in that direction.
I mean, it would be all that would have to occur. But you think about it, this is the only franchise he's known. They've employed his brother as a teammate. They've certainly, as they've had changes in coaches and rosters decisions, he's certainly been someone that's been consulted on all those things. And there is something to be said about being like a single franchise guy, and you're going to have some lows. And you don't think Steph Curry had some lows coming off the first dynastic run, you know, where they missed the playoffs, so they're losing in the play-in round, et cetera, et cetera. And then they win in 22, and now they have a chance to win in 25. Just don't assume, none of us should assume that because other stars have decided I want out that he's going to follow that path. He could just be a 20 season guy with the Bucks, and this is one of the dry spells, and they rebuild.
Well, Lillard blowing out his Achilles doesn't help the situation when you're looking at, well, if I just stay the course, this is what the next season will look like.
Right.
That doesn't help matters.
Certainly not.
But, you know, as much as I would love to see somebody stay with a franchise, and I love Doc Rivers personally, okay, big time. I want him to get everything that he wants. He's just good people, and I'm rooting for him. So I've now inoculated myself from what I'm about to say. Let's just say Giannis does say he wants out. What does that sweepstakes look like to you?
Well, you start with the teams that have the cupboard full of assets.
And that is? And
the best team in the league, first of all, with OKC, just a spoil of riches. And I think it's something like 31 first and second round draft picks over the next maybe 11 years or
and
something like that.
And that's not an exaggeration.
No, it's literally like it's a massive number. So they can make a type of offer that would be, you know, plus they could attach
young players.
Like guys who've proven they can play. You know, I'm not going to start playing fantasy GM because I'm not saying any of these guys would be at the top of Sam Presti's list to be moved, but just look at their roster. Obviously SGA would be off limits, but beyond that, there's a lot of young talent that could help a team where they're not mired in just the theoretical of draft picks. They could get real players as well. Brooklyn certainly has the type of assets to make a deal. Houston has the type of assets to make a deal. I mean, those are kind of the three that come to mind immediately, but you know, there could be a situation like the Hawks just turned over their front office, right? Are they looking to make wholesale changes with that type of move? You never know, but because those are when those moves are made, a lot of times bigger changes come.
Mm-hmm. What about the Spurs, Dave? Where do you think they fit into all
this? The Spurs. I mean, the Spurs kind of made their move to get De'Aaron and kind of emptied some of their future flexibility to make moves there.
Don't they have a chance to get two lottery picks on Monday, though?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, I think he's the type of guy. You know, so many people around the league that I spoke to after the Luka deal were like, if this was a different type of negotiation between Nico Harrison and it was just one-to-one with Rob Pelinka open up the league, like what does Luka get? Seven first round draft picks, You know, that's a number that was floated to me.
Wow.
You know, Giannis had to be somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
You'd think.
There's no question about
right.
it.
I mean,
There's no question about it.
The guy is on the MVP ballot again this year. He's the best two-way player in the game, you know, accounting defense. He's a winner.
So don't take any of the cheese when you're hearing Heat, Lakers, Knicks, you know, the supposed blue bloods of the NBA.
I just don't see the...
They don't have the capital. They don't have the room. They don't have the
None of those three. Maybe the Heat, I mean, if you could convince Milwaukee that, like, they want Bam or they... Like, much the same way that AD was coveted by Dallas.
Yes. So
made up for some of the draft pick gap. If Milwaukee covets Tyler Hero or covets Bam Adebayo, sure. The Lakers, there's no pathway there.
Dave McManaman here on the program. Before I let you go, how long have you guys known each other? How long?
Dave was a freshman when I was a senior at Syracuse.
Okay.
Yeah. We met each other through the intramural officiating and referees and stuff.
What do you mean?
I was one of the senior, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. I had worked there all 4 years, and Dave started doing it his freshman year, and I kind of...
Officiating?
Yeah.
So he was my boss,
kind of,
I guess.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a work-study job, yep. And you got paid, what was it, like maybe $20 a game or something like
something
that?
Something like
maybe,
that, yeah.
To get yelled at by guys in frats.
How was he as a boss of officiating?
Honestly, he was great. He was great to wait for. And we would play pickup a lot, too. So it was like you officiate and then, you'd be there at the gym on a random Saturday playing for hours and hours and hours.
One of those things, I mean, you're playing basketball 3, 4, 5 nights a week for 3 hours.
Yeah.
What's it like playing with a black hole?
You can shoot it, man.
No, but... Did he ever pass it back?
One of the best memories I had playing pickup was we were on opposite teams, and we both had a heater that day. But he did get I think he got the better of me, but it was like going back and forth, which is fun.
It was a fun
and he was like a tough looking guy in college. He had like a goatee.
Oh, I looked like Stone Cold. I had this giant goatee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And just like not to be trifled with. So
TJ, did you know he had officiating in his background?
Yeah, he's mentioned that and the goatee, and I've seen the picture, and he did look like a longshoreman.
Wow. Yeah, exactly.
No, that I knew, but I mean the officiating in your background, when did you go all John Halliburton on us?
Interesting. One year I was on the banned list even though I was an official. Like I was like a player to look out for. Even though I was also an official.
So technically you were warned
about myself.
About yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an impressive achievement.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ran hot in the young days.
Warned about yourself.
Wow. Yeah, you definitely had a temper.
Yeah, big time. Yeah,
for sure.
Well, I mean, he's out here too, right? Weren't you banned because you punted a basketball like blue chip style and you hit an exit sign?
I punted the week before. I got kicked out of a pickup league because I punted the ball into the ceiling 1 week, and then the next week I threw the ball at the exit sign and it broke, and it was a middle school gym.
Yeah. It's a great, honestly though, great work study job.
It was great. A lot of fun.
You're getting paid to exercise.
Study.
And if a frat like...
You got to step in
study. Like, obviously, a frat would get too drunk the night before and they wouldn't show up to their games. You'd still get paid, and then we'd just kind of screw around for an hour.
Play,
Damn.
I mean, it's a work... You know, you're enriching the university experience for everyone by serving that role.
Yeah. Work study.
That's real sports, man.
Yeah, man. Doge would be all over you on that front right now. Talk about waste, fraud, and abuse.
Oh, man.
Good Lord.
First to go. First line item.
I got waste and fraud over here and abuse over there.
Hey, 2001 Syracuse, man.
Damn. That's right. The statute stuff.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Great to have you here. Safe journey.
Appreciate you.
And again, thank Malika for doing women's sports. Yeah. Now, they loved having her, and hopefully
she had a great time.
Awesome. That's, by the way, available on Roku right now. Dave McManaman can be seen on the Disney family of networks, including tonight. Are they going to make you work tonight?
No.
Land? Okay.
Nothing until about mid-afternoon tomorrow.
There you go. So
there you go.
Check out Dave starting tomorrow from Minneapolis and look for more of our calls and invitations, sir. That's Dave McManaman. McManaman here on the Rich Eisen Show. Paging McManaman. See, I said it over and over again. Take that, perk. Here's Rich Ackerman. In the NFL, there is no margin for error. As you know, one mistake can change the outcome of an entire game. That's the same thing about your life and making sure you get the proper sleep so you get done in your day exactly what you want, because you're focused and you have everything in order. And the people who can help you do that are our friends at Sleep Number. Their mission is to provide the players of the NFL and you with data and insights to optimize your sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Don't just take my word for it. How about 95% of the Los Angeles Rams? They've got a Sleep Number bed. 80% of the Kansas City Chiefs, they have a Sleep Number bed. 90% of the Vikings have a Sleep Number bed. You should have a Sleep Number bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart. But it means the world of difference because we can adjust our side of the bed to the exact firmness that we want and allows for working out or recovery. It's game changing. So if you're in the market for a new bed, you should stop at a Sleep Number store right now. See your store or sleepnumber.com for details. If you're like me, and I bet you are, there's a kid in your household. For me, it's my daughter that's always screaming, "Dad, there's a bug. Dad, is that a bug? If there is, get rid of that bug. Dad, that bug is still here. Dad." Happens all the time. Guess what? Not anymore. Thanks to Pesty. Pesty is a do-it-yourself pest control. Same products the pros use at a quarter of the cost. The kit they make, it's so easy, it only takes a few minutes to apply. Other pest control companies charge over $800 a year. But with Pesty, you can get started at just $35 per treatment with a customized plan based on your location, bugs, and climate. Again, Pesty is a do-it-yourself pest control. Take care of those kids and those bugs, and it's kid-friendly and pet-friendly. It's awesome. Pesty offers a 100% bug-free guarantee or your money back. If the bugs don't go away, they'll give you a full refund. Now is the time to protect your home from bugs with Pesty. Go to pesty.com/Eisen for an extra 10% off your order. That's PESTIE.com/EISEN for an extra 10% off.
Not once have I been able to live out my long dream. As a young tuck growing up in Staten Island, New York, I've always dreamt to do a show like this one, wearing a mustache with one of my colleagues in full clown makeup and a black wig and a red clown nose, Chris Brockman. Wearing that on this show, having March sadness.
Rich, I'm so sad.
And you will be out on the DirecTV thoroughfare dressed like that with a Rich Eisen Show sandwich board that reads, "I have March sadness."
This is the most public yet of my many humiliations. "I have March sadness. Can you come give me a hug?"
So sorry.
I'm so sad.
Oh, feel better.
Thank you.
It'll be okay.
Congratulations to you for getting more out of the clown makeup this year than last year. At this point, last year, hour three, you had already removed it, crying like a baby about how your skin had hurt.
Hit me in my leg.
That's pretty easy what it was. You kind of look like Zach Galifianakis in Baskets right now.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
You know, on FX,
that's a good one.
You kind of look like that angry, sort of disheveled clown right now.
This is not a good look for me.
I disagree.
For a third consecutive year, has finished dead last in the Rich Eisen Show bracket competition, thus having to wear clown makeup for all 3 hours, none other than Chris Brockman from Modern Family, our friend Eric Stone Street. How are you, Eric?
Well, I'm not doing very well, Rich.
Oh, no.
Take that wig off right now.
Okay,
I'm watching you.
Remove the wig, Brockman.
Come back. I have March. No, I'm just going to follow you now.
She hit the wave.
I don't know where you're going.
Now this is creepy.
Come on, I have March sadness. Just give me a hug, my man. You get it.
Oh, yeah.
You get it. Chris Long, I have March sadness.
Yes.
I need a hug.
Yes.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yes.
You're a good man.
Management approved. It's a tradition unlike any other. For a fourth straight year, and as per the specs of Eric Stone Street, you are dressed as an August clown. You're like the Buffalo Bills of this contest.
Can I get a hug for March sadness? Anybody? No?
Oh, boy, the sandwich board's flying all over. What a mess.
Come on, millennials. Come on, millennials. There you go.
Come on, big finish. Finish up strong.
Yeah. There you go. Nicely done.
And it's love. of your many public humiliations. I don't know why we felt compelled to stroll down that memory
lane. Yeah, I'm not
sure
why we had to do that to her. That's not even a stray. That's like a giant.
Never can have enough of that.
Stone Street did not like that.
No.
He thought we were clowning clowns.
He was upset.
And until one year he made...
We didn't know what we were doing.
He gave us full... Yeah,
he sent the specs in.
specs on how to make you up. And then we stopped doing that. I don't know why we did that in the first place.
It was fun.
Why do we stop? Because we don't know. It's we're throwing darts.
Well, I lost four in a row, and I think I was like, I'm refusing. I'm not doing this again.
I'm done.
That part.
Huh?
I said that part.
That part.
Four in a row.
Four in a row. I mean, you might as well retire it at that.
And then we did. And then we did retire it.
Yeah.
And then we did retire it. So.
It wouldn't be that fun, though. There's not as many people out there.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Yeah, when there were a lot of people out there, it was fun.
Yeah, it was
when
fun.
Chris, like, if you're going out.
Just got my man. It's like a happening place.
Yeah.
Just got my man out there. He's the only person on the thoroughfare.
It is a happening place. Just stand in the 10-foot by 10-foot square behind me, and that's where all the action is.
That is true.
That's right.
Did you see the scissor lift?
I did see the scissor lift the other day, Mike, but I was doing my open to the show.
I was dying.
And I know you were dying, and I'm like, stop reacting. I'm trying to ignore it. The other day. My goodness. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, Hyundai wants to let you know that if you are wanting to sing along to a catchy tune and there's a truck drifting toward your lane, don't be distracted. Or that lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you, because every Hyundai offers available class-exclusive advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai has over 130 IIHS Top Safety Awards since 2006, and those awards include the Top Safety Pick and Top Safety Pick and Awards to Hyundai vehicles from 06 to 2025. Because Hyundai is always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. All right. We just talk about it, all right? Looks like my football head coach, Sherrone Moore, is going to sit himself down for two games this year, weeks 3 and 4, against what are the names of the institutions of higher learning that Michigan's football coach is sitting himself down?
I think some school for the blind. And then,
No. Seriously, Chris. I know that there's two actual schools.
No, I got it. Central Michigan and Nebraska.
Well, it's interesting. It's Central Michigan because I believe that was the school that Connor Stallion snuck onto the sideline for.
Yeah.
Dressed like Bobby Valentine, trying not to hit the showers in one of the many clown episodes involving this guy, who I don't understand why he has any status of, hey, isn't it funny what he did? Or let's hold him up as some sort of, interesting footnote. Everything Connor Stallions did, I wish he didn't do, and I wish he never showed up on the doorstep of the University of Michigan. And I wish our Friday guest, Jim Harbaugh, had told him, go away. Everything.
May not have a championship if he did.
Dude, you could say that all you want. Charlie Baker, the NCAA president, said on the weekend in which they took on Washington, if Michigan wins, it's fair and square. So that's my point. My point is, hey, NCAA, if you think Michigan did it, put it on the table. Put it on the table and explain to us what Michigan did and why the president of the NCAA said it's all fair and square. Other than that, whatever. Like, let's see it. Now, clearly there's got to be something for Sherrone Moore to say, I've got two games I'm willing to sit. And apparently it's because he, according to Dan Wetzel and Pete Fammel's story, erased 52 texts between him and Connor Stallions from his phone, which Michigan then retrieved and gave to the NCAA anyway. But the fact that he erased them is a level 2 violation for which he must account. Regardless of whether there was nothing in there, whether it was one text saying, hey, man, or, buzz off. I have no idea what it is, but I can't wait to see it because apparently it's so big that 2 years later, the guy who was the interim for the guy who was sitting himself for something that the president said at the end of the day, fair and square, anything. Anyway, the guy who filled in for him is now going to sit himself 2 games 2 years later. So I'd love to see what it is. I'd love to see what it is, because until it isn't placed in front of me, all I'm saying is that present it, and if Michigan did it, go ahead and try to take the banner away. But until then, buzz off. But clearly there's something buzzing around because the coach said, I'll sit too. And, you know, one of them is not Oklahoma, which is his alma mater. And Gerald McCoy's alma mater. They used to be teammates, by the way.
Right. Yeah.
So that's my opinion on it. We'll see if we can get Dan Wetzel on a future program. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Carol Leifer is in our blue green room coming out, talking about one of the many, many shows for which she wrote. Curb and Seinfeld, SNL, Larry Sanders.
Hit after hit after hit.
Thank you, sir. So we got our phone calls at 844-204-RICH being the number to dial here on the show. I'm willing to take any pushback if you have any. And I assume you normally do. You normally do.
I want to see what they did.
I do. I'm exhausted by this whole story.
Yeah.
And clearly, if something 2 years later he's suspending himself for, there's still something there.
Well, they're still investigating it. That's for sure.
What's there?
I don't know. I'd love to see it.
What is there? What did he do?
Whatever he erased got retrieved and sent to the NCAA anyway. And if they were told you need to retrieve everything and he erased them, and that's apparently a level 2 violation for which he must account now.
It's just.
And Michigan, whose president just left for the University of Florida, I'm told this has nothing to do with that.
Be transparent and show us what.
I don't know. They're still investigating. They take forever to investigate stuff.
I know.
They do.
So
it's crazy.
I agree. But something had to be up. Central Michigan. That's the one that he wound up on the sideline for.
Yeah.
Which,
how does that happen?
You know, I love the our buddies at Bussin. But they had him on, right, for like 2 hours.
Oh, did they?
Connor Stallions. It's just like I have no interest. I the documentary that was all of that stuff. It's just go away. I wish he had never shown up on a doorstep. And I'd love to see the videos that he took.
That's what I mean. I want to see that. That's what I want to show us.
I'd love to see the videos that he received from all these people that he paid to go shoot the sideline.
I want to see this.
And see how viable they are. I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
But doing that in the first place is.
Was wrong.
Yeah.
That's the offense.
I know.
That's the offense.
But. And then there are videos that show him clearly deciphering and having figured out signs. So how did he do that?
I don't know. He had to match it up with certain videos. He had to do that. And it worked so well that Ohio State took a big 2-score lead against Michigan in the game that supposedly they had the plays on. So that was great. Trust me, I would have loved to have been in a rocking chair way sooner on those days.
Yeah.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hour 3, what's more, Overreaction Monday coming up.
Former MLB All-Star Sean Casey, a.k.a. The Mayor, keeps hitting it out of the park.
Take my 30 years of experience. Take the wisdom and knowledge I've learned from the failures when I got sent down my rookie year, all the injuries I had to overcome. Your mind is the most important tool you have in life. Be relentless. Keep charging. It matters how you talk to yourself, how you look at the world. That matters. We talk about that. I don't know. I'm fired up. Baseball's back, and it's going to be incredible. I love it.
The Mayor's Office with Sean Casey from Believe.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.